All right, well, today being Sunday, May the 4th, 2025, we're going to look at part number 2 in our Sunday school lesson today. This is lesson number 11, and it was entitled, we started last Sunday, The Wisdom of Appropriate Words. The Wisdom of Appropriate Words. Now, last Sunday, we're looking here in the book of Proverbs, and last Sunday, we looked at the folly of inappropriate words, okay? We looked at that. Words spoken, you know, that are not appropriate. And we looked at those things. We looked at words spoken to people. We looked at words spoken about people. And then we came down to point number 2, the fruit of appropriate words. And that's where we are today. We started it last Sunday. We're going to finish it out today. And then we'll have a special lesson here also next week for Mother's Day. But the fruit of appropriate words. We looked last week at words spoken to people, okay? And Solomon confirmed, he observed in what he did here in the book of Proverbs, that they fell, appropriate words fall into one or both of these two categories. Number one, affirmation or confrontation. Affirmation or confrontation. And both of these can contribute and have a positive effect in the lives of people. Don't get me wrong on that. Both of them can have a positive effect on the people. We looked last week, we began looking at the fruit of edification. The fruit of edification, building up the saints of God. And we looked at this in Proverbs chapter 15. Now we're going to be looking at several verses, and I've tried to put them in your bulletin, okay, as many of them as I can in your bulletin, so you can go back and look at them during the week. But we're looking at this one in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2 today. And it said here, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Boy, we see that in our world today, do we not? Man alive, good night. We as Christian individuals, we as born-again believers, okay, we have a duty and we also have a responsibility to edify and to build up one another in the power of the Lord. And we want to be able to do that in the power of His Word, to give them strength, to help them to grow for the Lord. And, you know, we talked about this last week, how that fathers have a responsibility and a duty to themselves, number one, to be the right example for the family. And we saw that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We also looked at where the mothers had a responsibility. They're in Titus chapter 1, verses 15 through chapter 2, verse 5. And then we looked at last week, we looked at how the children also have a responsibility in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, where they are to obey their parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is right. It's right. They're to honor their father and their mother. And it's to, so it can be well with them and that they might live long on the earth. I heard, who was it? Bill Cosby one time told his kids, he said, man, I brought you into this world and I will take you out. Okay? Well, you know, the Lord could do the same thing if we're not careful. And it's by His grace and mercy that many of us have survived our childhood. And now we get to enjoy it. I see our grandkids doing kind of stupid stuff sometimes. And I'm looking at them and I see my daughter get all upset. And I said, you know what? What goes around comes around. All right. What goes around comes around. Just enjoy it. Pray for them. Pray for them. All right. But we got down to this point, down to where Paul spoke in Ephesians chapter 4. And instead of tearing down, Paul encouraged the Ephesians to build one another up. He encouraged them to build one another up. And I want you to look at this today. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 15 through 32. Look at what he said here. He said, but speaking the truth in love. Now let me stop right there just a minute. I know a lot of folks that say the right thing, but they say it in the wrong way. Okay? Say what you say in love. Remembering that somebody one time had to help you with the same thing, most likely. And Paul said here, he said, but speaking truth in love. may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind, having an understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Aren't you glad that Christ makes a difference? Amen. Christ made a difference in my life. He's made a difference in your life. And he said, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, or that word conversation meaning the manner of living that you used to, the way you used to live before you got saved. You put that off. You put off that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now let me stop right here a minute. Many times we get distracted by those things that we see, those things that we hear, and those people that we are around. We get distracted from living for God, from doing what God wants us to do. And it all starts right here in our little pea brain, okay? It just gets in there and the little marble gets to rolling around a little bit, and you get to thinking about this and thinking about that. And pretty soon, the devil has you distracted to where you're not thinking the way God would have you to think. You're not doing what God would have you to do. And we get into the flesh. Anybody ever been in the flesh in here? Anybody besides me? Boy, you look at all these innocents in here now. You know, liars are friars. You know that, right? Okay. All right. Now, listen, we've all had that situation, but it all starts right here. And you know what happens? Gravity causes it to sink down into our hearts. And when things get going bad in our head and the way we're thinking, pretty soon it affects our heart. And everything that we think about, everything we do comes from our heart. Listen, we need to keep our heart right, but before that, we need to keep our mind straight. We need to have the mind of Christ. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Boy, that's the one that we need to hang on to today, is it not? We need to be careful what comes out of our mouths. Don't use the slang words and these bad words and curse words and things like that. Good grief. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Look at this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Man, as God forgave us, we need to forgive others. We need to pray for them. We need to lift them up. And Paul recognized that well-chosen, well-spoken words of edification and encouragement would result in those Ephesian Christians leaving their spiritual infancy stage, so to speak, and develop into a more spiritually mature adult stage in their life and living. That's what God wants us to do, to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all reality, isn't this simply a way to fulfill our Lord's great commission? Isn't this just a way that we can go out and do what God said do? Let me remind you what the Great Commission said. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Always, all the way," is what he's saying. "Through the thick, through the thin, through the good, through the bad, through it all. Even unto the end of the world." And then Matthew closes out and he says, "Amen." And folks, that's what we need to do today. We need to edify. And that's what Paul was trying to teach Timothy as well. When he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, he said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." See, that's the goal, that we lift up folks, we encourage them. I've told you about the young man down in Texas, rode my Sunday school bus, and we helped him with college and get him through there, and now he's been a truck driver for FedEx now for 31 years. And his pastor came to him last week and asked him. I've been talking to him about the soul winning classes and trying to help him. I sent him a director kit and a soul winning kit down there to start going through it. And his pastor now has asked him to take that position at their church. He's considering retiring from his FedEx truck driving job and doing it full time. They got to win some folks to Christ. And he texted me the other night. He was so excited. So excited. And you know what? These are seeds that were planted. Edification. Lifting them up. Even when they were down, he got saved. He started living for the Lord. And now, for all these years, not heard. And now he's texting me back and just said, "I just want to thank you for teaching me about Jesus. Thank you for picking me up on the Sunday school bus. Thank you for telling me about the Lord." Man, I just thank God for it. The fruit of edification. But there's a second fruit I want you to look at also. And it's this, the fruit of strengthening other believers. How many of you ever need a little strength from the Lord today? Anybody? Boy, I need it every day. And you know what? Solomon said something here in chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 30. And he said this. He said, "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat." Now you say, "Preacher, what in the world has that got to do with this, strengthening believers?" Well, sometimes those folks on the road of life simply need a good word spoken in the right way at the right time in order to strengthen them and to complete, so they can complete their course and continue to finish their race. They just need that help. I thought about Brother Ralph today giving that testimony. Man, religion couldn't help him. The Air Force couldn't help him. I thought the Air Force was going to be my salvation. And then God called me to preach. And man, you know what? I thank God that he called me to preach. And you know what? Instead of being a good pilot, my goal was to be a flight surgeon. I wanted to fly and I wanted to be a surgeon. I wanted to do all that stuff. And my goal was to ultimately get into the NASA program and go up to the moon. Man, that was my goal. That was my goal. But you know what? You know what? As a preacher, I'm gonna fly higher than any rocket can ever go. And buddy, I soar to the stars and beyond. I'm gonna go to that third heaven that Brother Paul talked about one of these days. I'm gonna get to see my Lord. I'm gonna go beyond all that. And now instead of being a good doctor, I'm serving the great physician. Amen. And buddy, I couldn't trade that. Man, you couldn't trade that for a house full of gummy bears. I mean, you just couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. And you know what? I thought about his testimony this morning. See, I'm standing there listening to him. How that God can take our nothing and make it into something. Amen? He can make it into something. And I'd rather be something for Jesus than something for the devil any day. Amen? And that's what Solomon was talking about. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the writer of the book of Hebrews said this, beginning in verse number 1. He reminds us that we have someone cheering us on. Now, if you read about the heroes of the faith in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and how that they sought for that country, they sought for that city, they just kept going through eyes of faith. But then beginning in chapter 12 and verse number 1, look what he said. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience." Now, let me say something here. When you run with patience, what brings forth patience? Tribulation, heartache, hard times, things that don't go our way. And you know what? When tribulation comes, it comes to do one thing, and that is to bring forth patience in our hearts and in our lives. And we are therefore to run this race with patience. We're to run that race that's set before us. How do we do that? Look what he said. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint, where? In your minds. You get your mind off of living for God. You get your mind off of serving the Lord. And you know what? The devil wants to distract. So the fruit of strengthening is something that folks need today. They need strengthening. Paul urged the Christians there in Thessalonica to stand beside those who are spiritually weak and to strengthen them. You say, "Preacher, where does it say that in the Bible?" I'm glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look at this just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. He said, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." How many of you feel feeble-minded today? All right? You need comfort. Somebody needs to strengthen you, all right? You need to strengthen others, okay? One day you could be like them, okay? You need to strengthen them. We need to warn them that are unruly. We need to comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And just as he encouraged those Galatian Christians also, he did here with the Thessalonian Christians. Galatians chapter number 6. Look there just a moment with me. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, "Brethren," now who's he talking to there when he says that? Fellow Christians, right? "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," if a man be overtaken in a fault, look at this. "Ye which are spiritual." He did not say, "Ye which are carnal, go and chew them out." He said, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." My wife gave me this little plaque one time. It had a little Irish proverb on it. And it said this. It said, "When you help someone else up the hill, you get closer to the top yourself." And you know what? That's what Paul is saying. Help those folks around you. Encourage them. Strengthen them in the Lord. Then there's a third fruit. The fruit of wise counsel. And look at this in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse number 9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." as believers, you and I have a duty and a responsibility. We have an obligation to God to seek wise counsel when we have problems and issues that come our way. We need to, first of all, seek the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We need to search out the Word of God. We need to go to the Word of God. And when we have problems that we just can't figure out what to do, seek wise counsel. You know, the sad thing today is many folks today would rather suffer on in making wrong decisions than to humble themselves and seek godly counsel and spiritual wisdom. I know of folks today that don't go to church anymore. They don't serve the Lord anymore because they were having problems with family, problems with issues in their own personal lives. And you try to give them counsel. They don't want counsel. They want somebody to go along with them in their devilish deeds so that they can feel good about doing that. And folks, the Word of God is not going to do that. The Word of God is going to help you to see the facts. Listen, every morning when I get up in the morning and I go shave, I have to look in the mirror, okay? And it shows me the facts, okay? You may not like the facts, all right? You may not want to see the facts, but the facts are there, all right? And you have to deal with it. And folks, that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is a mirror. It shows us who we are, and what we need to be. And God's Word is there to help us. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Now look at it again. Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amen. There is safety. Go over a couple chapters in Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse 22, he said this, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. We as believers, we should be willing to give out good counsel, wise counsel. Don't be afraid to share the Word of God with folks that need it. Lost people need the Word of God. Saved people need the Word of God. And they need the truth of the Word of God. Solomon wrote here in Proverbs 28, 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Amen? That means that God's going to supply your needs, that God is going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. The proud person doesn't care what a wise counselor thinks. They only care what they think. They only want to hear what they want to have said. He only cares about what he thinks, and he ultimately ends up living himself or causing others to live in a sad state of consequences. He brings it on himself, and he brings it on everybody else around him. But folks, we as Christians have a duty. We have a responsibility to not only seek godly counsel, but to give godly counsel to those who need it. Our family, our loved ones, our friends, other believers. And our gratitude to God, as well as our love and concern for other folks, ought to be the motivation. Our motivation for doing what's right. Now listen to what the Bible said. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. What is he saying? Don't quit. Don't give in to the wiles of the flesh. Don't give in to the wiles of the devil. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what? We are to please the Lord. If I tried to please everybody, I wouldn't please anybody. So what I try to do is to please the Lord. and do what God says do. And then let Him deal with other people's hearts. Let Him do the work that we can't do, folks. The Word of God will do that if we'll just be willing to give it out. Then number four, fruit number four is this, the fruit of healing. The fruit of healing. I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 12, just a moment, and verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. This is what Solomon observed, and this is what he wrote. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Boy, just the words just go right through you. But the tongue of the wise is health. It's health. The speaking that's like the piercings of a sword are sometimes harsh and cruel. And you know what? Sometimes we get in the flesh and we do things that's not, it just comes out, does it not? It's like a slippery banana on a stick of butter. I mean, it just flies out. And when somebody has fallen or been knocked down by Satan and they're hurting, we don't have to be gloating and exclaim to them, well, I told you so, I told you so. Listen, they already know. They already know. And what they need is the facts of the truth of the Word of God given to them to help them to understand. Listen, though a righteous man may fall, the Lord is there to pick them up and to help them if they'll be willing to do what God says do. There are times when confrontation is needed, especially when a believer has chosen to do things their own way instead of God's way. There are times that those words need to be said. Solomon said in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And again in Proverbs 28:23, he said this, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. A wise and loving confrontation of the facts from a friend who truly cares can indeed give somebody the strength, the help, that healing that they need to have when they realize they've done wrong. You know what I see so many times today, though? Folks don't consider what they're doing against God's word as being wrong. Folks today are not seeing sin as sin. They don't see it that way. And folks, listen, the doctor told me one time, he said, I may hurt you, but I'll never harm you. Doctor told me that when he had me going through physical therapy. I had that hip replaced last year, and man, it hurt. And he said, no, I didn't do anything to hurt you. You know, I did this to help you. And he said, you know, don't think I'm trying to hurt you. I thought he was trying to kill me. But you know what? The hurting that he did really came out to help me in the long run. And you know what? I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the Word of God that does the same thing. And number five, I want you to look at this. An appropriate word spoken can also produce the fruit of joy and cheer. I want you to look at something in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Look what Solomon said. He said, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. I remember as a boy, I'd just gotten saved, hadn't been saved very long. And you'd talk to folks, they'd shout on Sunday and throw handkerchiefs up in the air and shout and carry on, whoa, glory to God and all this stuff. And you see them on Monday and they're down the mouth, they're cussing, they're fussing about everything. You say, well, how are you doing today? Well, let me just tell you how I'm doing today. And that preacher said this and that. And I'm thinking, oh my, I don't want to be like that. So a long time ago, I made up my heart, my mind, that no matter how I felt, no matter what was going on, good or bad in my life, when somebody came to me and said, preacher, how you doing today? I just tell them, saved by grace. Amen. You know what? Because no matter what's going on in my life, I'm still saved by grace. I belong to Him and He belongs to me. And that's good enough for me. And you know what? I want to encourage some folks with the right words. I want to try to encourage them. And Solomon wrote here, he said, heaviness in the heart of a man causes it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. God could have just left it in the Bible when he said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve. You deserve to be separated from me. You deserve to go to hell and burn forever. He could have left it that and been right in what he said. But you know what? God didn't stop there. He said the wages of sin is death. But he goes on to say, but I got some good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know what? Although we deserve to die and go to hell, God wants us to know He still loved us. And He gave Himself for us that we might be an instrument of His use in this life. And folks, I am so glad that He didn't stop with just the wages of sin is death. But he went on to tell me, but the gift of God. You know, a gift is something somebody gives you. Number one, because they love you. And number two, they pay for it in full and just willingly offer it to you. And when we accept it, God blesses so much. Folks, today I want you to understand the fruit of appropriate words spoken are something that can help folks, not hurt them. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the story of Bambi. I like Bambi. I like him on a plate. No, I like him on the Disney movie too, okay? But Bambi was talking to Thumper one day. And Thumper started to say something bad, and Thumper's mama said, now, Thumper, what did your father say? And that little foot starts going like this, and he says, if you can't say something good, then don't say nothing at all. And you know what? I think sometimes we need to take heed to what Thumper said. If you can't say something good, then just don't say anything at all. The wisdom of appropriate words. I hope you'll take heed of this today. How's your attitude of speech and counsel today? Let's give God the glory. And let's give people the word of God that they need to hear. And let's let them know that God loves them and wants to make something great out of their issues, out of their problems, and out of their lives today. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you. And I do thank you, God, so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to teach a class, and be able to encourage the people of God to serve you, to live for you, to do what you want them to be able to do. And I pray, Lord, that this lesson today on the wisdom of appropriate words would be such that would help us to see our need to live faithfully for you, to stay in the book, and, Lord, to hide your words in our heart in all that we do and say. Help us, God, to be an encouragement to folks. Help folks to see that we are real and we really do love you and serve you with all of our heart and soul, and we want them to do the same. And, Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless Brother Rossi now as he stands to preach. I pray, God, you'll fill him with your power. And God will thank you for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.